So sometimes we got to weigh the options out, and we got to look at, you know, is God really? Now I'm not telling you to just stay there and let them beat you up and let them kick you around work and be a doormat for them, because we have to be led by the Spirit. But in tough times, we got to let the Spirit of God rise up within us. Amen. And like I said, he wants to argue a lot, and I don't argue with him that much. I just tell him, well, this is what I read in the Word of God. This is what the Word of God says. And that way I'm not wrong. I'm always right, because the Word of God is true. I don't let my opinion get in there in the mix, because we are in the flesh still, and we're going to fail if we lean to our own understanding. But if we stand on the Word of God, it's a firm foundation. Amen. And we can rest assured this morning knowing that God is for us and not against us. But I want y'all to pray for that man. He's really got a good heart, but he just don't know God. And that's the whole world. There's a lot of good people out there. And even the ones we think is bad, God said, they're my children. I died for those souls right there. And I need you to find some way to get my gospel preached to them. He's left that up to you and I tonight, amen? He said, I've already equipped you for those tough times that are coming ahead, but I've given you everything you need. You have no excuses this morning, but I've given you my gospel, and I'm going to hold you accountable. You are stewards of my gospel this morning, and we must be good stewards of the gospel today. Turn with me to 2 Timothy 3. It says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady and high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never being able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further. For their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose. He's telling Timothy here, Paul is. He said, you've known me. You've known my desire, my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose here on earth. You have seen what's going on. You've seen my faith. You've seen my long-suffering, charity, and patience. You've seen my persecutions, my afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endured. But out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Ain't that some comforting words? God tells you, you got to live godly before me. You need to live right in my eyes. But he said, all that live godly shall suffer persecution. That's not something to get discouraged at, church, this morning. But we need to be rejoicing. Paul said, I rejoice in these tribulations. This fiery trial that only works for but a moment, it's only to make me stronger. It's only to increase my faith. God said he wasn't going to put nothing on me that I couldn't bear. I'm going to be a stronger Christian when I get through this battle. And God's on my side, so I know I'm going to win. So we're coming out the other side. It's time to rejoice. It's time to get excited when tough times come. But you're going to have to be tenacious. You're going to have to be strong, rooted strong in the Word of God. Because there is those false... You know, I've read the Word since, you know, I was a little boy. I was raised up in church, and I've always heard that about false teachers and false doctrine. And you know, we think, well, you know, that false doctrine we'll be able to recognize, You know, a false teacher, we could see that. But that's not how the enemy works. He will creep in, just as it said a while ago. And that scripture there, creeping in, leading captive silly women, that was talking, I don't have time to go into that this morning, but it was really a lack of knowledge that was pertaining to right there. Because they kept the women in the house, they wouldn't let them be educated, and they would go in and teach those false doctrine to the women so that they could in turn, they would have a foothold in that family, in that household. And that's what they would do. And that's how the enemy will work. So we must be careful in tough times what we let into our homes, what we let into our minds, and what we let into our circle of influence. Amen? Or those false teachers and doctrines will be put in place by the enemy if we give place to him. He can't come in unless we give place. Amen? Because greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world this morning. So if we don't give him place, he cannot come in this morning. But yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned. And from a child thou hast known these holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God or woman may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. God says, I have equipped you this morning to be just that in tough times, to be tough, to be tenacious, to be the men and women that I've called you to be, not to be defeated, not to let the enemy run over us, but to go to the Word of God. He said, the scriptures that you've learned from a child, all scripture is given by inspiration, and it is pertaining to any situation you ever face. I've got the answer is what he's saying this morning. And I've equipped you because I've given this word. I've inspired the men to pen these words that you may have the victory, that you may be the winner this morning. And we must be tenacious in tough times today. You know, we oftentimes, the Bible says that my people, God said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. That when we don't know how to fight, when we don't know where the enemy's coming from, you know, a lot of times we're defeated. We give up. We get discouraged. And we let our faith grow weak. But he said, because of that lack of knowledge, you're destroyed. But if we get this knowledge within us, Paul showed us throughout his life and his example of being tenacious, being persistent in an opinion or a view. He had no questions that he was going to go and see his God one day, that he had a calling upon his life. God turned his life around, and he had no questions about that. And you must have that same kind of faith this morning, knowing that God has called you, that he has taken your name and written it down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And no man can take you out of that. We must know that this morning. But Paul showed us, and we, like I said, too many times we let the battles and the trials and the cares of this life come upon us, and they weigh us down. Our faith grows weak. And we are in tough times. I've seen some tough times in the past few years myself, and I see others that are going through just flat out tough times. And the enemy would like to get a foothold in there. But we need to stand up. God said, if the enemy comes in, I'll raise up a standard. I will be whatsoever you need of. I will be that person. I will be that thing. Whatever you have need of today, that's what I'll give you. And we must realize that we are more than conquerors through him. He lives on the inside this morning. So no matter what trial, no matter what battle we live or living in today, we're right in the midst of it. We're in tough times. But it's time to be tenacious. It's time to get the Word of God within us. I want to read real quick. You don't have to turn here, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23, Paul is speaking here, telling them of the things that he's endured. He said, "For I am more in labors, more abundant in stripes, above measure in prisons, more frequent in deaths. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten, once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers." He goes on and he's naming all. He's been snake bitten and you know, he at one time he was beaten and left and thought was dead. Within 24 hours, he was back up on his journey preaching the gospel again. You know, he shook it off. If he was beaten bad enough that they thought he was dead and left him there for dead, that's a pretty good beating. And to get right back up the very next day, there's not many of us sitting here this morning that we'd lay in the bed for a week and have brother and sister so-and-so bring us food for 2 or 3 days because we can't get out of bed. I'm just telling the truth this morning. Amen. But we can look at the example Paul gave us. He was up, and he couldn't go get in his Lincoln and drive down the road to the next church and preach the next sermon. He was on foot. He was walking to the next place that he had to minister to. 24 hours after he had been beaten and left for dead. Snake bitten, shipwrecked. It didn't matter. He had a made up mind. He was tenacious no matter whether times was tough or whether they was good. He said, "I made up my mind to live as Christ and to die as gain. It don't matter to me what happens because I'm a winner either way." That's the mentality we've got to have this morning. We must be tenacious in tough times. I read about, you know, we sometimes, as we grow older, we look at things and say, "Well, God can't use me. I've missed the boat. I hadn't served him all my life. And, you know, God just, it'd be hard for God to use me now. I've just missed my opportunity. I've missed the boat." But I look at Noah. We don't even hear, he didn't have nothing to do until he's about 500 years old. 500 years old before God said, "I got something for you to do." So it don't matter what. And then he labors 120 years to only save 8 people. How many of us is going to be persistent in our opinion or view? How many of us is going to be tenacious enough to labor 120 years with all the ridicule for something that ain't even never happened before? He's building the boat out here on dry land. How are you going to get that thing moved, Noah? "I don't know. God said to build it. That's what I'm going to do." That's the kind of mentality we've got to have. And if we have to labor 120 years for whatever God has in your life. I was talking this morning about, you know, about how David in his heart wanted to build the temple for God. That he wanted to build the temple, but God said, that's not the way it's got to happen. He said, "I've got a plan. I've got a man that's going to build it. It's your son, but you're not going to build it because you're a man of war and you've shed innocent blood." And he said, "So you're not going to have the ability to build that." But David didn't get mad. He didn't let pride come in there and say, "Well, bless God, if I can't do it, ain't nobody going to do it." He gave a bunch of money. He gave a bunch of things. And he used his authority to get to help and to edify Solomon in building the temple. And that's what we've got to do. No matter what God has called us to do, it may not be what you think you ought to be doing. You might think you ought to be out here on the road preaching the gospel, ministering. But God says, "I want you ministering right here. I want you ministering right here to your brothers and sisters that you talk to each and every day." You know, we can think up all kinds of things what we think God ought to do for our lives. But we've got to stop that and say, "God, what do you want me to do? What do you want? What is it in my life that I need to get rid of that your plan and your purpose can be accomplished?" David showed us an example there of laying everything aside, not getting prideful, he didn't let jealousy come in. He could have been jealous of Solomon. But no, he didn't. He said, "This is my God's temple, and I'm going to do what I can, regardless whether it's what I think needs to be done or not. God said it had to happen this way.